I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. We welcome you tonight to the Mind of Christ broadcast on tonight. Those of you that are listening here in the United States and those in Africa, Nigeria, we welcome you tonight to our broadcast, and we encourage you to tune in. Let someone know. Go tell someone to tune in to the broadcast tonight. We have a special guest that will be speaking on tonight, the person of Bishop Danny Wooten, someone whom the hand of the Lord is upon, someone who loved God and loved God's people. And at this time, I bring to you none other than our own Bishop Danny Wooten. God bless you, Bishop. You're on the air.
God bless you, Pastor Hatley. God bless all of our listeners on tonight. It is a blessing and an honor to be able to share with you on tonight. Pastor Hatley, we are yet praying for just full recovery for you, and that God will strengthen you. And we just thank God for the work that you are doing and the work that you have done in the kingdom. And God is not finished yet. Your best is yet to come. And we want to encourage your heart. We thank you for this platform tonight, because it's an important platform, because we're living in the last days. We're living in perilous times now. And the Bible tells us that there's going to come a time when people will not endure sound doctrine. And as we look at the status of the church is in a dangerous place now, because the church has lost its soldier mentality. And tonight, I just want to share from a perspective, not just from the church being the body of Christ, but I want to bring our attention back to our responsibility as the body of Christ. The church is, from a military perspective, the church is the Department of Defense for the kingdom of God. And we are soldiers yet in the army of the Lord. We used to sing that old devotion. I know you remember, Pastor Hatley, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. And we used to call it the call and response. And I remember some of the verses, you know, it says, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I got my war clothes on in the army of the Lord. I'm a demon-fighting soldier in the army of the Lord. And when we listen and remember the lyrics of that song and look at the church now, I believe that we can agree that the church has lost its soldier mentality. So tonight, just want to share just a little bit in the Word of God this week, and next week we will close out. But just want to just get in God's Word and just speak a little bit about spiritual warfare. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for this opportunity. We thank you yet again for this platform, oh God, to be able to share among your people tonight. God, I pray now that you would bless me and anoint my tongue, oh God, to speak forth the oracles of your word, oh God, to empower and encourage your people, oh God, that they are yet soldiers in your army, oh God, and that everything that we need, every weapon, oh God, everything in heaven's arsenal is at our access. And God, we just pray tonight that you would bless us as we go into the word of God, open up our hearts and minds, oh God, and let us, oh God, be able to just fellowship with you in your word. And we thank you again for all of your many blessings in your son Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Tonight we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, very familiar passage of scripture from the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to focus on verses 3 and 4 on tonight, and for an introduction, and we will go further in the broadcast and reference some other scriptures. So if you have your Bibles or your smartphones, let's go to 2 Corinthians 10, starting at verse 3. And the word of God reads, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." And let me read that again. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Verse 4, Paul says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down of strongholds." So when we look at this text on tonight, just a brief synopsis of the Apostle Paul, in Paul's ministry, He symbolized the church or the body of Christ in three perspectives in his writing. He looked at the church from the standpoint of being farmers. He used scripture and his epistles, just comparing the church to being farmers. He also compared the church in some of his writings as being athletes. He talks about running the race. But one of the most powerful synopses that Paul uses for the body of Christ is that he compares the church to being an army. He looks at the children of God as being soldiers in God's army. And in this particular text tonight, Paul starts out in verse 3, and he's talking about our walk. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, Paul is talking about now maneuvering. How are we as the body of Christ maneuvering in this spiritual war? He says, we don't war after the flesh. And that's a very key word, because we're going to talk a little bit tonight. We're going to talk about war, what's the difference between war and warfare, and we're going to talk a little bit about spiritual weapons. So when we look at the word war, and let's define war. What is war? War is an ongoing conflict between two forces that consist of continuous battle. And most wars are engaged, and they're fighting for land, they're fighting for territory, and they're fighting for leadership. So when we look at the Bible, when we look at this spiritual war that we're in, the war is between Satan's army and God's army. Satan has engaged or declared war army, and every army needs soldiers. Every army needs men and women to be able to pick up a weapon and be able to maneuver in this war so that we can all achieve that great victory in the war.
Yeah.
But then Paul talks about warfare. So we have war, which is two forces that are in an ongoing conflict against one another. But then we have the word warfare. Now what is warfare? Warfare is how we fight the war and what we use to fight the war with. So when we speak of war, war is about the individuals who are fighting, but the warfare is about how we fight and what are we using to fight. Paul says, for the weapons of our warfare. He didn't say, when we look at weapons of our warfare, now we're getting into knowing how to use weapons, knowing the types of weapons that God has set forth for our access. So when we look at the church, and as I said earlier, the church is the Department of Defense for the Kingdom of God, and we're all soldiers in the army of the Lord.
Yeah.
It's important that we must know how to operate the weapons. Not only operate the weapons, but we must know what these weapons are. So in this text tonight, beginning to talk about weapons of warfare. What are our weapons of warfare? And I want to use for a subject for the next couple of Sundays, armed and dangerous. I want to encourage the body of Christ that we are yet armed and dangerous with the weapons of the kingdom. God has given us access. He has given us access to heaven's arsenal, in which heaven's arsenal, what I like to call, I'm a veteran of the army, retired army, and the army of God has its own weapons. I call them weapons of mass deliverance. In the military, they call them weapons of mass destruction, but God has his weapons of mass deliverance, which is his word, his name, and his blood. When we are communicating with God in prayer, which is what I call the war room, we have access to plead the blood of Jesus. We have the access to use the name of Jesus. We have the power to speak the word of God. And anytime that we call upon the blood and we begin to call upon his name and we begin to speak the word of God, those three weapons of deliverance can bring healing to somebody's life.
Yes.
But it goes much further than just being able to call down these weapons of mass deliverance. As a soldier in man's army, you're issued a weapon. You're issued a primary weapon. But you also, in a time of combat, you can also pick additional secondary weapons to be able to make yourself fully armed against your enemy. So Paul says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So let's talk about these weapons for a minute. I'm going to speak on three of these weapons tonight and on next Sunday, just to give you a broader understanding and encourage you that you are yet armed and dangerous. And you're going to hear me repeat that several times in the broadcast, that you are yet armed and dangerous. And Pastor Hadley, I believe that you can agree, when we look at the status of the church as an army, the church has really been disarmed by the fivefold ministry. Now, I know somebody is going to disagree or have a problem with me saying that on tonight, but the church is in a place to where too many of the saints of God are waking up in the morning in defeat. They're going to sleep at night in defeat. They have been disarmed because the fivefold ministry has made the church feel that the only way that they can get a word is that they got to run to every revival. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
That
Amen.
The only way that they can get victory is that they got to get a word from the prophet. The only
All
way
right.
that they can overcome the issues is that they have to run to a conference and run to a seminar and run to the table talks and the fireside chats just to get a word from somebody else to be able to defeat the enemy and maneuver in the warfare of their lives. But
yes.
I come to let you know tonight that God wants to rearm us and re-encourage us that we have been equipped with weapons of warfare that we can maneuver. I don't know about you, Pastor Hadley, but if I had to depend on the prophet, do I have to wait till the prophet come into town to get a word for my warfare?
No.
What happens
All right.
if the prophet is only coming to town every 3 months?
That's right.
I got
That's
3
right.
months of warfare that I have to maneuver, and I'm depending on getting a word from one person. But I want to let body of Christ know tonight that God has armed you with weapons, the weapons of your warfare. And the three weapons that we're going to start talking about tonight are prayer,
All
praise,
right.
and prophecy. Prayer,
All right.
praise, and prophecy. Let's just
yes,
talk
sir.
A little bit about prayer. Talk a little bit about prayer. How is prayer one of my weapons of spiritual warfare? Well, when we go to Matthew 16 and 19, what does the Bible says? The Bible lets us know in Matthew 16 and 19, Jesus declared, he told the disciples that I will give you keys to the kingdom. He says, keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven,
All right.
and whatsoever you loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. So when we look at this text here, Jesus is basically telling the disciples, I am going to arm you with the warfare weapon of prayer. And when we look at prayer, prayer is battlefield communication. In other words, Jesus is telling the disciples here that as soldiers, I am giving you full access to the war room of God. Prayer is our battlefield communication that God has given us so that we can call down his blood, so that we can speak his word, so that we can call upon his name. In addition to that, he says, look, I'm going to give you the power to bind and loose. He says, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom. And a lot of times, let me stop right there, Pastor Hadley. This is something that I believe me as a young minister, I used to say it all the time. I used to say the scripture that he will give us the keys to the kingdom. But I believe that in the actual text, he says, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. He's given us what we need now as soldiers in the army of the Lord to be able to have victory against the enemy. He says these keys of the kingdom are binding and loosing. So when we talk about binding, what is binding? Binding is the power to speak against or forbid something from happening.
Yes.
He says, whatever you bind upon the earth, he says, I'll bound that. It'll be bound in heaven. He says, I'm giving you the authority now. Keys. Keys represents power, and it also represents authority. Now, what are you saying, Bishop Wooten? We speak a lot about having the power of God. But let me explain to you. Power only gives me the ability to speak.
Okay.
But authority gives me the right to speak. Lord have mercy.
That's it.
So everybody has the power and ability to speak. But when they come against the enemy and the enemy is putting them in a position of defeat and the enemy is trying to cut off our ability to pray, then we forget that God has given us the authority, the right to speak his word, the right to call upon him. And I want to encourage someone tonight that you yet not only have the power, but you have also the authority. You have a right to call upon the name of Jesus. You have a right to plead the blood of Jesus. You have a right to speak the word of God. You have a right to pray and communicate with God in the times of intense warfare. So in my weapon of warfare of prayer, I am binding and loosing whatever the enemy is attacking me with, because in this spiritual warfare, we are constantly up against landmines. I call them spiritual landmines, spiritual pitfalls, spiritual ambushes. And we have to be careful even about the sleepers that have infiltrated our camp. And we have to watch out for the sabotage spirit that's within our camps. But when we look at the landmines, when we look at the ambushes and we look at the sabotage, we have to operate in a spirit of discernment. We have to be able to discern when that enemy presence is near us. So in binding, to be able to discern and identify and to be able to speak against that thing. We pray, Pastor Hatley, we pray for a lot of stuff.
All right.
But how often are we praying against?
Yes,
we must pray as equally against as we do for things. We have to be able to identify that enemy and begin to say, in the name of Jesus, I bind, I forbid that sickness. I forbid that spirit. I forbid that demonic activity from entering into my home. I forbid this thing from entering into my job. I forbid this thing, most important, from entering in my mind. Because that is where the war and the battles are taking place, in our mind. So I must be able to bind those thoughts. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 10. Paul says these weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He says, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So what is a stronghold? A stronghold is a deeply rooted thought pattern. It's something that is deeply rooted in my mind. It has taken a fortified position in my thoughts. And what the enemy does is the enemy uses his weapons of mass destruction. And those that are listening and want to take notes, let me give you the three weapons of mass destruction of Satan. The first one is deception.
Yes.
Satan is a master of deception. Deception is operating in a spirit of lying. In the word of God, it says that Satan is the father of lies. So the first weapon of destruction of Satan is deception. He lies to us. What are you saying to us, Bishop Wooten? When we're going through a situation and we need to call upon the power of God in the name of Jesus, Satan will begin to deceive us to make us think that we don't have the power. We don't have the authority.
Amen.
Satan lies to us and say, you don't have any weapons because you have been disarmed by the fivefold ministry. They have taken all the weapons, and now you got to jump through hoops just to go to them and let them use their weapons to pull you out of your battle. So he is lying to us in deception that we cannot come forth, that we cannot come out of our situation. The second weapon of mass destruction of Satan is then temptation. See, when he uses the spirit of deception to lie to us, to make us think that we're less than, to make us think that we don't have the ability and the power or the authority to speak forth victory in our lives, then he tempts us. He tempts us now to go outside of the battle plan of God. Lord have mercy tonight.
Yes.
How often do we get discouraged? Discouragement will send us outside of the battle plan of God. And it causes us to now carnality, and we're trying to defeat the enemy with our own strength. And we know
Amen.
That without the power of the Holy Ghost, that we're going to be defeated by the enemy every single day. I believe in the Bible mm-hmm. says that not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Said the
yes.
Lord. Mm-hmm. So Satan uses deception. He tells us lies that we're not going to be healed. He tells us lies
Amen.
That we cannot overcome this situation. And then he begins to tempt us to go outside of God's battle plan for our lives. And then the third weapon of mass destruction of Satan is accusation. Listen to
All
what
right.
I'm saying. If I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord, I have to know that I know that I know that I'm a soldier. So he says, okay, you're not really a soldier. You don't have the power. You can't get a prayer through. How often have we gone through something or is going through something, and we are praying and we are praying and we are praying, and it feels that God is not hearing our prayers, and it feels that God is not manifesting an answer. And then we begin
yeah.
to operate in a spirit of doubt. And that spirit
yeah.
of doubt is Satan lying to us in a spirit of deception, saying God is not hearing you. God is not going to bring you out. God is not
Amen.
Going to heal you. God is not going to heal your child. God is not going to do these things for you. So you might as well go ahead and do this. That's where the temptation comes in. And then
Right.
when we fall to the temptation, then the accusation comes in. Then Satan goes to God and says, see, God, see,
mm-hmm.
Pastor Hatley, is
All right.
I lied to him just to show
Yes.
you that he really don't know who he is in God. He said,
right.
I tempted him to go outside of your battle plan just to show you that he really don't know who he is. He really don't know that
All
he
right.
has the power and the authority as a soldier to defeat. So as long
yes.
as I can keep him at bay, as long as I can keep him discouraged, and then I can come back to God, then Satan says, I can come to you, God, now and accuse them before you. Say, look, they're supposed to be such soldiers, but guess what? They're not using the weapons that you have given them access to. So
okay.
I hope I'm making sense. Am I making sense tonight, Pastor?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
Yeah. So,
yes, sir.
So now let's go back. Paul says, to the pulling down of strongholds, that deeply rooted mindset, that pattern that we're operating. Real quickly here. We hear the term all the time. We've heard it for years. That the battle is in the mind, and we know that the battle
mm-hmm.
is in the mind. I want
yes.
to share something. I know our time is going very fast, but I want to share something real quickly here. When we look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse
mm-hmm.
11, and in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, Paul says, you know, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. He
All
says,
right.
We wrestle against the principalities, and Paul begins to talk about the powers of the rulers of darkness, and it begins the hierarchy of Satan's army. But the
yes.
one thing that we must understand is that when he talks about spiritual wickedness in high places, and I want you to listen to me good tonight, saints of God, we must understand what that really means. The Hebrew word for high place is called bama, which refers to a sacred area or an open-air sanctuary. What are you saying
right.
tonight, Bishop Wooten? That the Christian soldier, our mind is a type of heavenly realm or heavenly place, which is considered the high place of God. My mind
right.
is the high place of God. Lord, help me tonight. And what's
yes,
happening
sir.
Is that when we talk about the schemes of the devil, and he's constantly throwing his schemes, I call his schemes landmines and booby traps, and then he's firing his fiery darts at us. What he is doing, he's attacking the high place of God, the spiritual wickedness in high places. If I'm not operating in the righteousness of God in my thoughts, then I'm operating in spiritual wickedness in the high place of my mind. If I'm doing the opposite of God's word, that means that now Satan has infiltrated my mind. He has infiltrated my mind, and now, as Paul says back in 2 Corinthians 10, he says, now I got to pull down strongholds, pull these strongholds down. In verse 5, Paul says, I cast down the imaginations
mm-hmm.
and every what? High thing
that exalts itself against the knowledge of God? What is the high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God? My mind.
All right.
If my mind, oh God, if my mind is not being fed the word of God, then I will begin to exalt myself against the knowledge of God. When I go outside of God's will or God's plan for my life and I begin to try to get victory by myself and do this thing on my own, I am now putting myself in a position where I am now exalting myself against the knowledge of God, because the enemy has now infiltrated the high place, which is my mind. So let's go a little further here, and I'm jumping back and forth, Pastor Hatley, between 2 Corinthians 10 and Ephesians 6. Paul goes on, let's go back to Ephesians 6, and I know it's closing out on us. Paul talks about the armor of God, and we're going to close on this tonight. We're still talking about prayer, saints. He says, in the armor of God, and I'm going to work backwards here, the helmet of salvation. Let's talk about that helmet of salvation for a minute. What exactly is the helmet of salvation? What is that helmet used for? Paul says we have to pull down strongholds. Now, I want to give a visual here. Now, he says, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself in the knowledge of God. Think about this, Pastor Hatley. If I have these strongholds in my mind, and the enemy is constantly operating in a spirit of deception and temptation and accusation, when I put on my helmet of salvation, and let me stop and just go military for a minute. The helmet in the military is made of what is called Kevlar. Kevlar is a material that is strong enough to stop a bullet. Lord help me.
Okay.
So put on your helmet in the midst of battle and combat, and you get shot in the head in your helmet. Your helmet is designed to withstand the impact of a bullet.
Yes,
so
sir.
Going back now, spiritual, if I have these thoughts in my head already, these strongholds, and I put on the helmet of salvation, now what am I doing? Going back to 2 Corinthians 10, now I am bringing into captivity every thought.
All right.
The helmet of salvation brings into captivity every thought, the strongholds that are in my mind, the imaginations that I'm dealing with in my high place. So it brings those things into captivity. What happens now is now I must trust my helmet. So once I put my helmet on, I bring into captivity those thoughts that the enemy is constantly using in a spirit of deception against me. Now I'm able now to focus on pulling those strongholds out of my mind through prayer and the word of God. And even though I see that the enemy is still firing his fiery darts at me, I have confidence in the helmet of salvation that if that thought comes, it's going to bounce off the helmet of salvation. It's going to bounce off my salvation, because my salvation keeps my mind. Am I making sense tonight?
Yes, sir. Amen.
So when we look at being soldiers here, we must understand all of the components of what it means to be a soldier. So Paul is saying, look, the weapons of your warfare, they're not carnal. You can't beat the enemy with your own strength. He says, but they're mighty through God. God says, I've given you the weapon of prayer. Prayer is that battlefield communication. When you communicate in battle, you must be able to communicate on the same frequency of the war room. What does Paul say in Ephesians? He says we pray in the spirit of God. So I must be able now to communicate God, not in my carnal state, but I must be able to communicate with God in the frequency of my spirit, so that now I know that when I am praying, that I am now not just throwing words out there that are just going out into the ether, but I am praying in the spirit, where now my spirit is now being led by the Holy Spirit in my prayer. I'm binding and loosing. So now I'm binding this thing in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. What does the scripture say? That the Spirit beareth what? Intercession. So even if my prayer is kind of off, Spirit says what? I will now intercede and make sure that when it hits the war room of God, God gets the instructions that he needs to be able to bring us through our moment.
Yes, so close it out, Bishop.
We're going to close tonight on prayer, and next week we will go into talking a little bit more about prayer and go into praise. And we're going to stop here. Thank you, Pastor Hatley, for this opportunity.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for listening tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this session on tonight. God, we know that our time is limited, but God, I pray that something that I said will encourage your people on tonight. We're looking forward, oh God, as we move into next Sunday night, as we move further into your word. Lord, encourage your people tonight, oh God. Let them know that they are yet armed and dangerous, oh God, and they are yet soldiers for you. And we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Amen. Bless you, Bishop. Yes, sir.
Bless you, and we'll see you on next Sunday.
Yes, sir. Amen.